Good evening, everyone. Firstly, our shiur should be refuah shlema for Mordechai ben Shamsi, as well as all the other, as well as Yoshua Shal ben Naima, as well as all other cholei Am Yisrael. Zat Hashem, we should all have refuah shlema, refuah nefesh, refuah haguf, bekarov mamash. Okay, so let's get started. Parashat Lech Lecha. Parashat Lech Lecha, the parasha begins with one of Avraham Avinu's major tests in his life. Picking up and leaving. Just getting up and leaving his hometown. To bring this out a little more, just make believe you're told by God to pick yourself up with all your belongings, leave your family. Some of us can't even spend one Shabbat away from our family, let alone just, you know, leaving Gilad's laughing over there, right? One Shabbat we can't even do. Avraham Avinu, you know, so you're going to say, yeah, but Avraham Avinu wasn't Persian, so he didn't know what it means to have Persian parents. All right, but he was Iraqi, you know, close enough. He was born in Iraq, you know, so he knew what it meant. I'm sure his father really wanted him home. But anyways, leave your family forever. Get out of there. Leave your hometown. All the nostalgia of your childhood. Leave your childhood friends, neighbors, etc. Leave. Fine. He took it. He said, "All right, I'll do it. You know, I'll take the bullet. I'll do it. God, you said so. I'll do it." Great. But that wasn't it. Where am I going? He wasn't told. So basically, he got into an Uber XL. If one could just mute themselves, thank you. He got into an Uber XL with all of his luggage and told the driver to drive. What does that mean? He was just told the driver to drive. Where? Where to, my friend? No clue. You see, that was a very, very big test. However, when a person feels so connected, when a person feels like he's literally walking side by side with God, in fact, it says about Avraham Avinu, "Hitalech lefanai," that Avraham Avinu was actually leading the way. Noach was side by side with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but Avraham Avinu was walking in front, whatever exactly that means. But when a person feels that way, that he's walking right next to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is no fear, there is no anxiety. These things aren't problematic. If the boss tells you to go, you go. And he'll make sure that you end up where you need to be. The Midrash tells us that Hashem provided Avraham Avinu with a special cloud that cared for him on his journey and showed him exactly where he needed to go. He was taken care of. To bring out Avraham Avinu's emunah a bit more, added on to this test of leaving his hometown was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to pick up and go where? To Eretz Yisrael. Right after he got there, what happened? There was a famine in the land. There was no rain, there was no food. He could have easily regretted his decision to go there in the first place. Hashem is sending me there. He promised me a lot of money and goods and stuff like that. Nu, where's the money? Show me the money. Not there. The Pasuk says that he made it down to Mitzrayim because of that. And he ended up what? The Pasuk tells us, Avraham kaved meod b'mikneh Bakesef uvazahav. Avraham Avinu came back from Mitzrayim, from that journey, extremely wealthy. We all know what happened with the story of Sarai Menu and Paro, that Avraham Avinu tried to hide her in a box because he was scared that they would take her. And then they actually opened up the box and took her. And the Malach came and punished Paro. The Midrash says with 10 makot, with ten plagues, you know, Paro in the times of the Bnei Yisrael, that, you know, the Mitzrim, it wasn't their first time getting plagued by Hashem. It actually happened in the times of Avraham Avinu, as the Midrash says over here. And Paro regretted what he had done, and he gave back Sarah. Not only that, he sent Avraham back with a lot of wealth, with a lot of cattle and money and gold and silver and things like that. So he returned back to Eretz Yisrael with a lot of money. The Pasuk tells us, Vayelech lemasa'av. He went with all of his belongings. Rashi points out that when he went, if everyone can just mute themselves, thank you, that Rashi says, Keshechazar mi Mitzrayim le'eretz Kanan, when Avraham Avinu left Mitzrayim, to go back to Canaan, haya holech v'lan v'achsaniyot shelan b'alichoto l'mitzrayim. Right? He went back to the inns, to the motels that he stayed in on his way to Mitzrayim. You know that to go from Eretz Yisrael to Mitzrayim is not a two-hour drive, right? It actually took him a couple of days, maybe even more, and he had to sleep overnight in some motels. So what happened was that on his way, he was broke. He didn't have any money. He had to beg the innkeepers to let him stay for the night, promising to pay them back. So the Pasuk tells us how amazing Avraham Avinu was. That on his way back, he went back to those innkeepers. And he paid them back. Wow. Asks the Pnei Menachem. Pnei Menachem was the Ger Rebbe. He asked his father, the Imre Emes, what kind of move is that? He had no source of income. And he was taking out loans. He was borrowing money, promising to pay them back. He had no money, he had no source of income. It's not like you guys, you have a future, you know, even though some of you guys might be broke now, but at least you're getting a degree from Yeshiva University, you have a bright future ahead of you. Avraham Avinu didn't have a degree from YU. He had no source of income and nothing to look forward to in the future. Still, he was loaning money, taking money out of the bank. So why would he do such a thing? Says the Imre Emes, that Hashem promised Avraham Avinu that he would make him wealthy. Avraham Avinu knew this, he took it to heart, and he knew that it would come true. He had no anxiety and no fear at all. So he borrowed money on that promise. Beautiful, sounds simple, right? Ask the Pnei Menachem. He says back, but what are you talking about? That explains why Avraham Avinu felt totally comfortable borrowing money. But that doesn't explain why the innkeepers would lend him money. Why would they lend him money? This is a guy who has no source of income. Why would they do that? Says the Imre Emes. Avraham Avinu's emunah and bitachon was so strong that it influenced everyone around him. He came in with such confidence that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was protecting him and taking care of all of his needs that they also felt confident that they would get their money back. And that's what it means. He went on his way back to Eretz Yisrael. He paid back those innkeepers. Emunah and bitachon have the ability to guarantee success. Explains the Divrei Yisrael. He proves this from the Midrash. The Midrash says that in Mitzrayim, when Sarah Imenu was captured, that night she lay down on her face all night. And she said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Avraham is saved because of your promise. You promised him he would be rich and he would have many offsprings. Although I don't have that promise, I have Emunah and Bitachon, which is even greater. Shouldn't I be saved all the more so? And as a result of that, the Midrash says that she was indeed saved. We see from there, says the Divrei Yisrael, that Emunah and Bitachon could be stronger than a promise from Hashem. And she knew that. And Avraham Avinu knew that too. The Chatam Sofer gives another pshat. What does that mean? He went back to pay back the ones that he bumped into on the way to Mitzrayim. What does it mean he paid them back? Says the Chatam Sofer, something amazing. He says when he moved to Eretz Yisrael in the first place, so Avraham Avinu was a big political figure in those days. He went against the trend, right? The entire world was in denial of God, and they were acting upon it. They were bowing down to idols. All of his critics came and laughed at him. And they said, you moved blindly from where you were to Eretz Yisrael. Just picked up and left on this belief that there is a God that told you that He's going to take care of you. So once he got to Israel, he got to Eretz Yisrael, and he was broke and he had no money because there was a famine, so they all came and laughed at him. They said, where's your God now? Right? Just like it says in Tehillim, Lo lanu Adonai, lo lanu ki l'tshuchatem kavod l'chasra imdecha, lama yomeru ha-goyim ayena Elohim. The goyim sometimes will come and say, where is their God, these Jewish people? Where is their God now? He promised you that you're going to be rich. So Avraham Avinu, on his way back from Mitzrayim, he went to go and pay back some unfinished business. And he went to those people and he said, well, you know, that I guess that I was right. I guess that I actually did make a couple of bucks based on God's promise. That's all emunah. Not one time did he fear. Did he have any fear or worry or anxiety that he wouldn't be taken care of? And look how wealthy he got. The Tiferet Yisrael in Masechet Tamid. Masechet Tamid discusses a lot of things that have to do with the Beit HaMikdash. And we know that in the times of the second Beit HaMikdash, in order to choose, to decide which Kohen Gadol, which Kohen would go and do the Avodah in the Beit HaMikdash, there was a lottery. And the Mishnah tells us they made the lottery. The Mishnah says, this is in Perek Aleph, Mishnah Bet, Zacha Misha Zacha. Whoever won the lottery, won the lottery. So asks the Tiferet Yisrael, what does that mean? We know there's not supposed to be any extra words in Mishnayot. Whoever won the lottery, won the lottery. Just say, you know, the person won the lottery, and there was a lottery, and someone, whoever won the lottery, got to do what you know, do the avodah. What does that mean? Whoever won the lottery, won the lottery. So he explains, listen to these words. He explains, the af al gav shehipilu goral, even though there was a lottery, lo haya derech mikre. It wasn't happenstance. It wasn't incidental. It wasn't by chance that that person was chosen. Rak me Hashem kol mishpato, Hashem decided. Rak misha ra'uy v'zakuy l'kach mishamayim, only the one that is worthy, that is fit, was the one who shezacha begoral b'chol avodah v'avodah. Misha zacha, whoever was worthy of being fit according to the standards of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, zacha, he was the one that won. It's not a double lashon. One time a person came to a Rav, actually the Av Beit Din of Tveria, and poured out his heart with all of the yisurim that he was going through, all of the hardships and the trials and tribulations that he was going through. And he said, I don't know what to do anymore. This is so difficult. Where is God? What's happening? How is this happening to me? So on and so forth. The Rav gave him a very brief response. The Rav told him, why are you leaving out the other half of the story? And he said to him with attitude. And this person, this Talmud, was taken aback. He said, Kvod Rav, I'm sorry, you know, Mechila, but what exactly do you mean by that? I'm telling you everything that's happening to me. I didn't leave anything out. He said, no, you're leaving a big chunk of the story. Why are you leaving it out? He didn't get it. Till the Rav explained to him, you don't know the full story. You only see what your eyes see. But there's a lot more that's going on that you don't see. And you can't come and say that everything is bad. The Chavetz Chaim gives an amazing mashal. We say every day, multiple times, Ashrei Yoshvei Betecha, the Perek of Tehillim, the famous one. And all the way at the end, there's a pasuk that says, Shomer Adonai et kol ha'avav, Hashem protects all of those who love Him, Ve'et kol ha'resha'im yashmid, and all of the wicked people, Hashem will destroy. So the Chavetz Chaim says, imagine a person comes into Bet Knesset, and what does he hear? He hears the Chazan saying, Shomer Adon, Shomer Hashem et kol ohavav ve'et kol ha'resha'im. And that's it. Leaves out the last word. Shomer Hashem et kol ohavav, Hashem loves all of His loved, all of the ones who love Him, ve'et kol ha'resha'im, and all the wicked people. So He's going to come with questions. He's going to come and say, Hashem loves all of those who love Him, and Hashem loves wicked people? What does that mean? And then on the other hand, another person comes into Bet Knesset and this is what he hears. He says, he does not hear the first words, Shomer Hashem. He doesn't hear those words. All he hears is, et kol ohavav ve'et kol ha'resha'im yashmid. All of the ones who love Him and all of the resha'im and all the wicked people, yashmid, Hashem will destroy. And he says, what's going on? What does that mean? David HaMelech is singing praises of God? That Hashem is going to destroy all of those who love Him and all the wicked people? So until the Chacham comes to these two people and says to them, you guys are missing key words in this sentence. That's not how you read the Pasuk. You don't have the full story. The Midrash in this week's parasha opens up with an unbelievable mashal. an unbelievable mashal. We have to carry this mashal with us wherever we go. The mashal reads as follows. It's in the Midrash Bereshit Rabbah, in the first piece on the parasha. It says like this: Amar Rav Yitzchak, mashal le'echad shaya overi makom le'makom. There was a person who was taking a walk. V'ra'a bira echad doleket. He saw a field that was lit on fire. Amor tamar shabira zo belo manhig. He was wondering to himself, wow, who's owning up to this fire? Who's taking care of it? It's on fire. It's dangerous. Hetzitz alav bala bira, the owner of the fire, the owner of the field that was on fire, you know, he whispers to him, Omer lo, anihu bala bira, I am the owner of the fire. That's the mashal. The midrash continues, kach lefi shaya, kach. That's how it was in the times of Avram Avinu. Lefi shaya Avram Avinu Omer. That Avram Avinu would say, Tomar sha'olam azeh belo manig. Avram Avinu would walk around, and him and the people around him would say, and this is after the Mabul, wow, it seems like this world that's literally on fire, it's being destroyed, does not have an owner. Hetzitz alav HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem appeared to him, whispered in his ear, Ve'amar lo anihu bal ha'olam, I am actually the owner of the world. The question that's asked is, what kind of response is that? Go to the mashal for a second, with the field that's on fire. The person's wondering, who owns this fire? What's going on? It's going to spread, it's dangerous. And the owner of the fire comes and says, don't worry, I'm the owner of this fire. I'm responsible for it. But it doesn't address the problem. Okay, you're the owner of the fire. But it's on fire. It's going to spread. Who knows where it could end up? We know in California there are massive wildfires. I think they're still going on. Who cares that you own the field? It's your fire. Why don't you put it out? So explains Rav Elimelech Biderman something unbelievable. What's he answering, the owner of the fire? What's he answering? He's saying, I own this fire, but more than that, I'm in full control of this fire. Not only am I in full control of this fire, more than that, I know what I'm doing, and I'm doing it for the best. If you know anything about crops and fields, there are times, and I did Google this, there are times that you need to burn crops. Why do you need to burn the crops? Because it opens, it takes out the dead ones, the ones that are holding back the good and healthy roots from taking root and growing, and clears things up. Sometimes it's very good for the crops. But a person is passing by and doesn't know that, he's going to ask these questions. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs this world in that fashion as well. Sometimes we see patches of fire in this world. Not going to go into any current events, but if you're paying attention even halfway, you could understand. There are patches of fire in this world. And in isolated episodes, we look at them and we're asking, who is the owner of this fire? Is it China? Is that the owner of the fire? What's going on? They should put it out. Chas v'shalom. Kadosh Baruch Hu is whispering into all of our ears, I'm the owner of the fire. I know what's going on. I'm responsible for it. I'm taking care of it. It's for our best. It's for our best. The Pasuk tells us, right after the Brit Ben Abtarim, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Avram Avinu the promise, the famous promise that everything is going to be good in the future, you're going to have a great nation coming out of you, and riches, and you're going to go to Mitzrayim, and you're going to be enslaved, and then you're going to come out with riches, so on and so forth. The Avram Avinu displayed a tremendous level of emunah. The pasuk tells us, "Vehemin b'Hashem v'yichashevea lo tzedaka." That's what the pasuk says. "Vehemin b'Hashem," you trusted in Hashem, yad emunah in Hashem. So we see the word. If you look in the pasuk, the word "vehemin" is missing a yud. It's spelled vav hey aleph mem nun. It should say "vehemin" with a yud. Says the Bnei Saschar, why is it missing a Yud? Because the Zohar Kadosh says the letter Yud represents a person's chokhmah, a person's intellect. And the Yud is missing from Emunah, from the Emunah, from the word Veheemin, which means Emunah. The Yud is missing. It's missing from the Emunah of Avraham Avinu. Because when it comes to Emunah, a person must remove all intellect and believe with what's called Emunah Pshuta. Believing in God without analyzing things. Believing in Hashem just because. There's a story that I heard from of Eli Mansur. Eli Mansur says, he said a story, I heard this a couple of years ago, and he said that he was driving one Friday afternoon, and on the news he heard that there was a terrible tragedy that took place in Arizona in the Grand Canyon, for anyone who's been there. And what was the tragedy? There was a helicopter tour that was going around, touring around in the Grand Canyon, and there was an accident and the helicopter crashed, and everyone who was in that helicopter, everyone who was aboard, was niftar. And the news station, you know, said it was actually a newly married couple that went away on a honeymoon, and actually disclosed the names of the husband and wife that passed away. And the husband, the one who passed away, Rav Eli Mansur said, was one of his roommates or went to the same yeshiva as him when he went to Israel to learn yeshiva. And on his drive to Bet Knesset on Friday afternoon, he was disgusted, he was disappointed, angry, frustrated, and he had a lot of questions. And he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why would you do such a thing? Why? How can you do such a thing? It's horrible. Tov, that took place August 11th, 2001. 30 days later was the Shloshim and the Hakamata Matseva in the cemetery for this individual. They gave Rav Mansur a call and asked him to join, as he was a friend of the Niftar, the person who passed away, to come and join in on the ceremony in the cemetery. Unfortunately, he wasn't able to make it because of other responsibilities that he had. But basically, that morning, 30 days later, he had about 250 of his friends, family members, co-workers that attended. He worked in a firm in the 91st floor of one of the Twin Towers in the World Trade Center. His entire floor was his firm. And every single person on that floor came to pay respect for their coworker that was Niftar. And they were late to work that day. They all came late to work, or actually did not come late to work. 30 days after this person passed away was September 11th, 2001. Mind-boggling. Rabbi Mansur, I heard him say this, said it in such an inspiring way. He said, at that moment in time, I heard God talking to me and saying to me, how dare you question me? How dare you question what I do? You're asking me why I took away two lives. With those two lives, I saved 250 lives. Unbelievable. Something that we could take with us is just to understand that at times we need to turn off our minds and turn on our hearts. Emunah means to believe. Belief is not based on facts. Belief is based on belief. You know, if there's one message, one takeaway message, and there are a ton of them, but obviously, you know, all the cholim should have a refuah shlema bekarov, and anyone who's suffering and struggling in any of the inconveniences that this pandemic has caused, Zad Hashem, they should have yeshuot bekarov. But just one takeaway message, you know, the way one of my friends put it, is that with this corona, Hashem is basically taking everyone to school. Like, as to use as a basketball term, Hashem is basically schooling the entire world. You know, we think we know it all. Nowadays, with advance in technology, anything you need to know is seconds away from entering your mind. Take out your phone, your laptop, your iPad, whatever it is. You type a few words or even letters in. There you go. This point about a field being on fire. Within seconds, I had what I wanted. Knowledge is so easily accessible these days that unfortunately it might be taking away from our emunah. And one message that we could take away is, listen, here is something that until today, here this morning in Shiur, one of the guys mentioned, you know, we got into a little discussion a couple of days ago about masks and what the purpose of them are. You know, it's supposed to protect the ones around you. It's not really protecting yourself. It can't protect you. It's only protecting the ones around you, that it could prevent, you know, the disease from spreading from you to someone else, but not the other way around. That's why everyone should wear masks. And then that same person that told me that, you know, said today, actually, there's studies that show that that's not necessarily true. Now, I'm not here to pick sides. I wear a mask when I go out. Unfortunately, I haven't been out in a couple of days. I'm stuck at home. But I do. You know, I don't know if it works or it doesn't, but on the chance that it does work, yeah, I'd like to make sure that I'm going to protect those around me. But the idea is that it's been such a long time already. And it's too long. You know, we're used to difficulties and, you know, questions. We're used to them being answered instantaneously. And there's still so many questions that I remember those questions were asked, you know, the second this virus hit the soil of the United States of America. Those questions were asked, and a lot of those questions are still unanswered. That's pretty shocking. It's pretty mind-boggling, knowing that we know everything these days. So the message is, to sometimes we need to turn off our intellect and turn on our hearts, turn on our emunah. Believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, believe in what He says. Obviously, believe in doctors and what they say to the best of their ability, to the best of our ability. But it should not come on the expense of emunah. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided Avraham Avinu with such riches and wealth and a good life, all based on that promise. And not one time did Avraham Avinu question Him, even though there were difficulties. So I wish everyone, B'zat Shem, Shabbat Shalom Vorach. Thank you so much for joining tonight. And in the Zechut of Emunah, as the Midrash tells us, B'zchut Emunah Nigalu Avotenu Mimitzrayim. In the Zechut of Emunah, our forefathers in Mitzrayim were redeemed. And B'zchut Emunah Nigael. And in the Zechut of Emunah, we should also be redeemed, should also be Zechut to the ultimate redemption, to a time, Umacha Hashem, Dima, Me'al Kol Panim, that B'zat Shem, we shouldn't have to suffer anymore. We shouldn't have to, you know, shed tears of sorrow, shed tears of pain and struggles anymore. B'zat Shem, we should all be Zoche, like we learned today, that we should all be Zoche to experience Tchiyat HaMetim, which comes, you know, could be Zoche to that, through the Suda of Melav Malka on Motzei Shabbat, Sudat HaMashiach of David HaMelech Alav HaShalom. We should all be Zoche to join together in person. You know, we could all give each other hugs and kisses and hold hands. You know, it sounds a little bizarre. A couple of weeks ago, I was showing my kids a video of, you know, Simchat Bet HaShoeva in Israel, and how thousands of people were in such close proximity to each other. And one of my kids just got a little anxious and said, I don't like this video. I said, why don't you like this video? Because they're all too close to each other and no one's wearing masks. That's what they said. This is where we've come to, guys. This is where we've come to. B'zat Hashem, we should all be Zoche that Chadesh Yamenu Kekedem will all join in a Simchat Bet HaShoeva in the Bet HaMikdash. holding hands, locking arms, without masks, hugging each other, embracing each other, all coming together, joining together in order to honor Melech Malchem Lachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the King of all kings, the God of all gods. There are no other gods, just the one God. Wish you all a Shabbat Shalom. Umvorach. Thank you so, so much for joining.